It's really been great to have you guys here, and I'm really excited about the series we've been in. We've been talking about experiencing God in your life, and we're talking about Moses, basically. If you don't know the story, it's in Exodus. It's a great read. You should do that sometime. Read it, or if you're like me, you want to cheat, just watch the movie, right? And so you can watch the old one where Charlton Heston plays Moses, is his most famous role. He did a great job in that. Also, or maybe you're really ADD like me, and you need to watch the cartoon version, and that's okay, too. And Spielberg did an amazing job. He literally made a movie called The Prince of Egypt. It's completely historically accurate, really great. It's really done well. You may want to check that out. I highly recommend that as well. And so anyways, I cry every time I watch it. I literally do. It's so good, so powerful. I've seen it probably 10 to 15 times minimum. So really, really good. And so you don't have to be a kid to like it. So because it's a true story, and God literally parted the Red Sea for the people of Israel to escape their captors, to get away. They were all human trafficked. That's a fancy word today for slavery. And they were enslaved by Egypt. And then this is part of Egypt's history as well as Israel's history. And God opened the door. And through a series of plagues, God set them free. And we've been kind of cherry-picking different portions of the story to talk about how God spoke to Moses. We talk about how God speaks to us face-to-face. It was week one. Week two, we talked about how we're not supposed to be looking for God to join us in what we want, but actually look where God's moving and join him in what he wants, right? So God told him, hey, go back and set my people free, go back to Egypt, confront Pharaoh. And then the third week of this series, last week we talked about you're going to hit what's called a crisis of belief, where the question is, do you really believe God? You know what God's telling you now, the question is, do you believe him? Like, okay, God, you're going to come through, you know, can I trust you? And today I want to talk about another question that most people have, because if you're like me, you can be reading these powerful, true stories in the Bible and still say, well, I know God did that for Moses, but is God going to do that for me? Right? It's easy to do that, but that's why God gave us these powerful stories, because God wants to do the same thing in our lives. So today's message is may sound a little sacrilegious, but I think we all feel this way at times. We just don't like to say it. And so today's message is called When It Seems Like God Isn't Coming Through. What do you do when it seems like God's not coming through? You're like, okay, God, you came through for Moses, but you still haven't come through for me. And so maybe you're like, I know you died and rose again, but you still haven't resurrected my marriage, or you haven't turned my wayward child around, or maybe you're single and you're like, Lord, I'd just love to have a date. That'd be really great. Let's start with that, God. You know, I don't know what you're believing God for, but I believe God has an answer for you, and God wants to part the Red Sea, so to speak, in your life. By the way, it's interesting, if you study it, God intentionally led the Israelites to a dead end on purpose. Of course, they didn't know it was a dead end until they got there. And when they got there, they're like, you got to be kidding me. We just have a sea in front of us. And behind us are the Egyptians breathing down our neck, coming to kill us now. And so they're like, we're trapped. We're stuck right between a rock and a hard place. We're stuck between a Red Sea and Pharaoh. What do we do? And God intentionally led them there so he could do a miracle. So I want to tell you something today. Maybe you're at a dead end and you don't know what to do. You're like, I'm stuck. I've tried everything I know to try. I don't know what to do. And God's just smiling, saying, I know I got you right where I want you, so I can now do a miracle in your life and give you the breakthrough you're looking for. Isn't that cool? So if you're like me and you've said sometime in your life, when are you going to come through for me, God? You know, God, often we ask him questions. Sometimes he asks questions back. So I want to give you four questions to ask yourself today. Before we go any further, though, did God come through for Moses? The answer is yes, and the people of Israel. It says in Hebrews 11, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And so God did set them free. He parted the Red Sea for them to get away from their captors, and then he used that same Red Sea to not only set them free, but also when the Egyptians came to follow them, to hunt them down, God enclosed them in the water and drowned them all. And so that's a perfect picture of what Christ does for us. That basically he wipes out our past, he wipes out our slavery, wipes out our bondage, and then gives us freedom. And so I want to unpack this today, though. I want to start with these questions. I want to give you four questions today. When it seems like God isn't coming through, ask yourself this one. Write this question down. Here's one. Am I obeying quickly all that God is leading me to do? That's a great question to ask, isn't it? So we always forget when we're waiting on God to do something, God may be waiting on us to do something first. So we forget there's our part and there's God's part. And sometimes our part triggers God's part, right? So are you doing what God told you to do? Look what it says in Exodus 7. It says, Moses and Aaron did exactly what God commanded. Have you done exactly what God commanded? Is there anything in your life? This is one thing I say, like, if I'm not seeing a breakthrough in my life, Lord, is there something I need to change? Is there something I haven't done yet that you're leading me to do? So ask that question. Here's another thing about that. It says in Exodus chapter 14, when they realize they're stuck, they're trapped, and they've got the Egyptians breathing down their neck, and they're like, Lord, you know, please help us. And they cried out to God, and then God responded. But look at God's response. He says this, God said to Moses, why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites, order them to get moving. Another translation says this, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. So they both imply the same thing, but they're saying, one of them says, get moving, like you're moving towards something. The other one says, move on, which means you're leaving something behind, right? And so could God be saying to you and I know you are obeying me, but you're taking a long time. So God's saying, hey, chop, chop, let's go. I already told you what to do. You're still praying about it, which means you're spiritually stalling. You're just not getting to it. So you're like, well, I've been praying about maybe going back to school. Well, did the Lord tell you that? Yeah, a couple years ago. Lord, a couple years ago? You could be halfway through. Like, well, what are you taking so long for? Well, let's get going. Like, we forget that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. But you already know that as parents, don't you? If you tell your kids, hey, I need you to take the garbage out, right? And your kids are like mine when they were little. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, Dad, I'll get to that. You know, playing the video games. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. You don't understand. When I asked you to do that, I was not asking. I was commanding. And also, you didn't realize I didn't ask you to add it to your to-do list. I mean, do it now. Right? And so, but these new video games are all streaming. So they're like, oh, I can't pause the game. And I'm like, I can pause it. Unplug. Doesn't take me long at all to do that. And you can start a new game. It's not a problem. Go take the garbage out. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? And so you got to tell them, like, I'm sorry. That's not the priority. The priority is that if I interrupt you, I'm in charge, you're not, right? I remember one time my wife called me when the kids were really little and Mason was not listening to his mother. And this, I mean, he's real little, you know, he listens to his mother all the time now. But he's a grown man. Anyways, but you know, she called me, she said, hey, I need you to come home. I'm having a power struggle. I said, oh, this is easy. We have the power. They should have the struggle. What are you doing? I don't understand. So, but sometimes they just need dad to be the hammer, right? Come down and be like, hey, you know, this is not okay. But I want to encourage you with this. This is important. If you can't be interrupted by God, you're maybe thinking you're the boss. That's good. But one of the ways you know you're the boss is you can interrupt other people that are under you, right, in your organization, but you don't interrupt people over you, right? And when the home, like, I'm not going to barge in the boss's office and be like, hey, I need you to stop everything you're doing and talk to me right now. I would never do that, right? But if someone works for me, I don't have a problem saying, hey, I know that's a priority I gave you before, but right now I need you to stop everything and do this. So I just want to challenge you with this, that if you're never being interrupted by God, then who do you think's in charge here? So when God says to do it, stop everything and do it. Do what God tells you on the spot. John, on the spot, I'm going to obey God right now. I'm not going to put this off. James 1:22 says this, don't just listen to the word. You fool yourselves if you do that. You must do what it says. See, you fool yourselves into believing that you're being obedient just because you know the word. But knowing the word and doing the word, two different things. I can know that I'm supposed to do the work of the evangelist, like it says in Acts chapter 1, but that doesn't mean I've invited my neighbors to church yet. So I know to do it, I just haven't done it yet, right? I mean, I can know a salad's good for me, it doesn't mean I want to eat a salad today. You know what I'm saying? Like, anybody get what I'm saying? Just because you know it doesn't mean you're doing it. So I just want to challenge you that we have to obey the word of God. And so I like to ask myself this question when I'm not getting any traction with what I believe God's leading me to do. I just say, God, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I haven't done yet that you're waiting on me for? Because I've found normally when I think I'm waiting on God, God's actually waiting on me to obey. So just ask that question, Lord, what do I need to obey, or what do I need to obey quicker? Do I need to get to it when you've already told me to do something? If God's been laying it upon your heart lately to start a small group, maybe he's laying upon your heart to go to a small group or to serve in the nursery or to be a greeter or to begin to tithe, when are you going to finally do that? Because you're just putting off, you think you're putting off your obedience, you're actually putting off your blessing. You're putting off the reward. And so the longer you put it off, the longer you're putting off God's blessing that he has for you. So I just want to challenge you to obey the Lord quickly. Don't put it off, you know? And so you're dating someone, and you know this is not what God has for you. God's given you this picture in your mind, this mental picture. It's a vision. He's given you, that's how God speaks to us, of a godly relationship. And what you're in right now, you're like, this isn't it. Then why are you still with him? Oh, pastor, I hear you, but you know, I've been with him a long time. Oh, so length of mistake means it's not a mistake? So I just want to challenge you, not only now, it's really getting really narcissistic because you know what God's told you. Now you're wasting your time, God's time, and frankly, their time. That's right. So move forward. That might sound really cold, but that's actually the loving thing to do if God's already spoken to you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I want to encourage you, obey the Lord, because on the other side of your obedience is something better. that God has for you. So don't be afraid to obey the Lord on the spot. Johnny on the spot. Let's do it now. Let's go, go, go. Let's go. Obey the Lord. Don't put it off any longer. And so let's keep moving. Here's the second question I want to challenge you with. Is my bad attitude keeping me out of God's promised land? Am I just having a bad attitude? In other words, you say, well, I'm coming to church and I'm honoring God and I'm doing all the things possible. Yeah, but are you doing it with a good attitude? Because attitude matters. You know, Valentine's is going to come and go. And if I show up with flowers, you're like, hey, babe, here's flowers because you know it's Valentine's. I got to get you something. Kind of missed it there, didn't I? Right? But I got her the flowers. You'd be like, yeah, but the attitude, that doesn't work, right? So you can be doing the right actions with the wrong attitude, and it will ruin the right actions. So I just want to challenge you with this. It's a big deal that we have the right attitude. And so Scripture says this. I love this. Exodus 14:14. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. This is what he says. I love this. He says, God will fight the battle for you, and you, he says, and you keep your mouth shut. Okay, Moses, tell us how you really feel. He says, hey, God's going to fight the battle for you, right? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, now, shut up. He wasn't kidding. I mean, that seems really strong. Another translation, he says, stand still. But the point is that built into that stand still, because we don't get everything in our language oftentimes, because Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, which is what the Bible's written in, they're more specific in their language than the English languages. We have words that can mean multiple things, you know? And so, but what this means is God is saying, I'm going to do the whole thing. You're not doing anything. But why would Moses make sure he says, shut up? Could it be that Moses has heard the people of Israel complain a lot? In fact, Moses is essentially saying, hey, look, I already had to talk God out of smiting you several times. Will you shut your mouth? He's basically saying, don't tick off the guy blessing you. Don't make them mad. This is such an important point because we don't realize it, but we give God attitude. We do. We give God attitude. We give other people attitude. And we wonder why we're not getting where we want to go. Can I just ask you something right now? Are you frustrated because someone in your office that maybe is less experienced than you got the promotion and you didn't? You're like, man, I got more. I know more about the product than I do. I've been here longer. Could it be that you don't see it's your attitude closing the door? That, in other words, the boss may be saying, I'd rather have someone that doesn't know the product as well as you than your negativity in the room. Ouch. I know that hurts. But we've all done this before. All of us have had bad attitudes at moments. I just want to encourage you. You got to say, God, please check my attitude. I want to be positive. I have to say this before every Texans game. And so it's important. God, please give me a good attitude, right? No, but what I'm saying is you don't realize it, but you may be hurting the very miracle of God. And so Moses is like, please don't screw this up. Please don't say anything dumb right now. What Moses is actually saying is that if I can't change your attitude, at least shut your mouth about it. Is what he's saying. Because, you know, the Bible says that out of the mouth flows the heart. Like, whatever you're thinking, it comes out of your mouth. And so you got to be careful about what you are saying. You may be complaining in the middle of your miracle. It's really true. Ephesians 4 says this, when you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. Let me ask you something. Are you tearing people down or building people up? With your words. It's just as simple as that. Hey, parents, if you're like, I keep telling my kid this and they're not doing it, maybe it's actually the way you're saying it that's the problem. You say, well, I'm telling the truth. Yeah, but if you're telling the truth like a Karen, it doesn't matter that it's true. If your name actually is Karen, I'm really sorry that your name was chosen in a season like today. I just really am sorry. You may want to go by your middle name. I'm just saying. But the point is, could it be that, you know, right now we live in a country that's divided. Would you agree? And both of them say, I have truth on my side. You may have some truth. First of all, there's a lot of lies, too. Let's acknowledge that, right? But could it be that you're focused on some truth that you're ignoring some other truth? So just because you say, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Well, I mean, you may be saying the truth, but is it negative? And is it so down? Is the attitude attached to it, you know, really bad? I mean, like, I'll give you a truth right now. It's true that I'm losing my hair. But I really would rather you not say that to me every day. Does that make sense? Like, I just want to, like, I'm aware, I'm not denying it, but I don't need to hear it every day, right? And so just because it's true about your kids, just because it's true about your spouse, just because it's true about your work environment, just because it's true about your country doesn't really mean you should be spouting it all the time. Does that make sense? Because there's a whole other set of truths. Here's a set of truths. There's a truth that there's something your kids do right. So there's some things your family members, your spouse, your right, they do good. Right? There's some things you like about your job. You do get a paycheck, right? Oh, that's a very positive thing if you get that. That's great. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you, we tend to find the things we want to change and harp on them and hyper-focus on them, and we're missing what God has already done. So I just want you to be aware of this because we miss out. We essentially are saying, God, what you've done isn't enough. Basically, we're entitled. I want more and I want it now, God. God's like, I just set you free from slavery and now you're complaining? Like, really? I mean, and so we tend to do this and don't even realize it. And so could you be complaining in the middle of your miracle? Maybe you prayed for a spouse. You're like, oh, Lord, just please bring me man or woman in my life. I just really want that, God. And now you're complaining about the miracle he brought you. How many of you guys prayed to be able to get pregnant and have a child? You really prayed, God, please just give us a child. And then God gave you a child, and now you're complaining about that little miracle walking around. And those of you are like, yeah, but my miracle talks back. I understand that. But it's still a miracle, is it not? So I want to encourage you, you know, how about this? You prayed for a job, and now you complain about the very job that God opened the door for you. Well, my job's hard. It's stressful. First of all, I love how Dr. Phil put it one time. He said, if you have a job that's not stressful, do you really have a job? Like, isn't that the point? Like, they're paying you because no one wants to do it? Like, I think that's kind of the point of why there's money involved. It's stressful. I just want to encourage you, be careful not to cut off God's blessing because you're just negative about what he's already done. You're not seeing the good. We tend to find the negative in everything. It's easy to do. And so I just want to challenge you to guard your mind. To guard it, to protect it. Let me give you a verse that may surprise you on what we need to do about this. It says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth, what does that mean? In other words, there's a spot somewhere on this planet that God has for you. What would you call that? The promised land, your personal promised land. So God says, you need to make sure you're meek so you can get all that I have for you. That's what this scripture says. Now, if you're like me, the word meek does not sound very cool. Like, meek, I don't want to be meek. I want to be tough. I want to be strong. I want to be assertive. But meekness doesn't mean weakness. Meekness actually means, you may want to write this down, strength under control. Strength under control. Can I tell you right now, we need to learn, it's sometimes it's not what we say, it's what we choose to not say. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's not what you're tweeting. Maybe it's what you choose not to tweet. It's what you choose, how you choose not to respond. Does that make sense? You know, I've never heard anyone in a large corporation that's at the top. I've never heard anyone say, I just dishonored my way to the top. But I know a lot of people have honored their way to the top. And, well, you're just telling me to kiss butt. Well, first of all, I don't think that's bad. It's called honor is actually the proper word for it. And you say, but you don't know my boss. They're an idiot, and they're doing this and that wrong. And okay, that may be the case, but God brought them over you for a season. And by the way, just do what they say, because there's going to be a day if they're that bad, they'll remove them. And then guess what? The job's open, and you've been faithful. Right. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not trying to say set them up for failure. No. Do everything you can to help them succeed. But I just want to encourage you that people that go far in anything in life find the good in everything that they're doing. We have to. It's a decision we can make. We have to choose to find those things. Right now in our country, you can either choose to find all kinds of negative things in our history and focus on them, or you can choose to find all the good things about our history and focus on those. You can choose to find all the bad things about our current situation, or you can choose to focus on the good things about our current situation. Does that make sense? Because we forget, because we're on this big battle, and we're about to have an election and all that kind of stuff, and people are up in arms, and this happens every 4 years, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. And let me just say right now, there's always going to be something wrong. And there's always going to be other things you can focus on that are right. But listen right now, I want to tell you right now, let me tell you what you're not hearing anywhere around the world. No one is saying, if I could just get to Poland, man, everything would be better if I could just get to Poland. They're not saying that. But people will do anything to get into this country because it's that good. But yet we act like it's terrible. And oh, it's so bad. Oh, man. I just want to challenge your thinking right now. Next time someone says to me, America stinks, I'm like, where would you like to live? I'll buy the ticket. Just don't come back. We need to recognize that we are blessed. We are blessed. We have the best economy in the world. Even when it's bad, it's still good. And yes, your vote matters. And yes, it can make an impact. In fact, next week I'm going to talk about it. The whole message is not on it. But I'm going to say a few words about the election next week. And if you are easily offended, don't come. Okay. I'm going to touch on it next week just a little bit. So anyways, but I encourage you to be here. We're going to talk about how you should vote. How do you approach voting? I'm not telling you how to vote. Let me tell you how to approach it according to the Bible. So anyways, more on that next week. But I want to challenge you, is your attitude stopping the will of God? We have to learn meekness, which means just because I want to pop off doesn't mean I should. Listen, everything you think about your spouse, you should not say. Everything you think about your kids, you should not say. Everything you think about your boss, you shouldn't say. Everything you think about your pastor's sermon, you should not say. Okay, let's keep moving. Is my bad attitude keeping me from the promised land? Moses put it straight. Shut your mouth then. Now, here's another question. This is a big one. Am I willing to wait on God's timing and obey everything I know in the meantime? Am I willing to obey? In other words, like, I'm not going to say, oh, well, God, when you give me this, then I'll start obeying you. God's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You obey me, and then I bless you, right? And so are we willing to trust in God's timing? The thing about God's timing is it's never our timing. And so I can say this right now. We always feel like we're waiting. I don't know about you, but I'm like, man, Lord, I'm just, you know, I've been praying for this and praying for this. It hasn't happened yet. And I've learned at that moment I've got to stay faithful. And so there's going to be a season of waiting when you don't get what you want when you want it. In fact, I won't even show you, even in the middle of the miracle of God, they still had to wait. God is parting the Red Sea, and it's not instant. Did you know that? Look at the scripture. It says in Exodus chapter 14, then Moses held his hand over the sea. All that night, the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind, making the sea become dry ground. The water was split, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry land, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. I just can picture this in my mind from the movie. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, it's so cool. And they walk through. But did you catch it? It said all night God parted it. So it didn't just part and God said, come on, let's go. No, because if you're a fisherman, you already know this. When you put your foot out of the boat and stick it in the water, your foot sinks into the mud, right? Into the sand. Why? Because there's water. And so even if they parted immediately, this got to dry up. So God put this holy hair dryer on all night long, so they can then run through it. But if they would have started right away, what would have happened? The first people that got stuck in the mud, then the hundreds of thousands behind them would have piled right up, would have killed people, honestly. It would have been very dangerous. People would have been trampled to death. It would not have gone well. And so I'm sure as God parted the Red Sea, they were all excited, and Moses is like, wait. I know you think it's ready, but it's not ready yet. So you're seeing your miracle right in front of you. Wait. Some of you are engaged right now. You're seeing your miracle right in front of you. Wait. It's not easy to do that, is it? I just want to challenge you that some miracles are instant. This is a miracle we want, right? The sudden, the immediate, like, bam, it just happened. And I know some great stories like that where people just, they went to the doctor, you know, last time to check up, they had cancer, now they're free. Oh, I love those stories, don't you? I mean, oh, man, it's so great, right? Or maybe you know someone who just stopped a bad habit immediately, never did it again. That's my dad. My dad has got this kind of strong will about him that's so impressive. It's almost discouraging to me. You ever had that where you're like, you love the stories, and you're like, yeah, I didn't experience that. Like, my father one day just decided after he became a Christian, he had grown up smoking, and he just decided, he realized, you know, the Bible's, I think, maybe kind of against, it doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke, but it says, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You realize, this is damaging my body. So he just decided one day, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Threw the pack away, never smoked again after a 10-year habit. Very impressive. I don't know about you, but I love those stories, but they can almost depress me. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, oh, wow. Like, because maybe you're like, yeah, that's not my story, Pastor. My story is I know these are bad for me, and I had to cut down, and then I finally had to go cold turkey, and I was super grumpy, and I got a patch on my arm. And so you're like, I'm in process here. So some miracles are instant, some are process. And so, but we tend to get frustrated when the process we feel like takes too long. Like, you're like, Lord, just set me free from my addiction. God's like, well, why don't you go to the 12-step this Tuesday night? Let's start with that. And then when you go, say, God, thank you that I got here, because I put that off for years, and now I showed up. And then keep going, and you probably have some stumbles along the way, but one day you'll get your 30-day chip, and then you may stumble, and then you have to get your 30-day chip again, and then maybe your 60-day. But eventually, you get there. It's process. There's immediate miracles, and then there's process miracles. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor right now and say, I'm in process. Be patient. Just do that right now. It's true, because we're all in process. Sometimes it's not an immediate thing for us. Scripture says in Psalms 27, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I find it interesting that God says take courage while he also says wait. Because we just think courage means running into battle, but sometimes courage is not running into battle. You know, men, have you ever been in a public place and some guy kind of bowed up to you? And you're like, oh, you want to go there? Let's go, right? And you kind of instant high school kicks in. You're like, oh, let's do this right now. And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm a grown man. This is not good look. Number one. Number two, I'm going to go, you know, I'll have a legal trouble if I do this. So you have to learn to be like, all good. But you know, I could take him. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So you got to learn, just put your hands up and say, nope, this is not worth it. So have some meekness, strength under control. I know what I could do, but I'm not going to do it. I know what I could say, but I'm not going to say it. I know what I could post, but I'm not going to post it. Does that make sense? That strength under control. And God says, oh, you now have self-control. That is a fruit of the Spirit. Now I can bless you with more because you're under control. Why would God give you more leadership, more responsibility, if you can't even handle your own temperament? So we have to learn to stay under control. And what that really is you're saying, am I willing to wait on God's timing? In other words, I could pop off, but I could just also wait and realize that this person who's hurt me, if they continue to act this way, it will eventually come around to them. It's not my job to get vengeance. Vengeance is the Lord's, and they will eventually pay a price for this. And it's none of my business if they do or not. I'm going to stay focused on what God has for me. Does that make sense? Hope that helps someone today. Wait on God's timing. By the way, next week we're starting a series that has to do somewhat with what we just talked about. We're starting a new series next week called Tested, Tempted, and Turned Around. Because maybe you're in a test right now. You're like, oh, you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, God does. And so he led me to do a series on being tested and being tempted and turned around. How do you turn things around? So be sure to be here for that next series. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to really touch people's lives. And so, again, don't miss that. In fact, I know half of you after this election will be tested. The half that's not happy, whichever one that is. So we are all continually tested, right? So anyways, I want to encourage you to be here for that series. Very excited about that. So if you've been keeping up with me, the first question was, am I obeying quickly all that God's leading me to do? Second question, do I have the wrong attitude, right? Help me to have a good attitude, Lord. And third one, am I willing to wait on God's timing? And then this next question is kind of a showstopper. This is one that's like, if you're doing this, awesome. If you're not, don't expect God to bless you. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question, but I find that this question, how you answer it will determine your faith and how your life goes, to be honest. Here's the question. Do I really believe he loves me and will do what's best in my life? Do I actually believe that? I mean, we say it to other people, right? Oh, God's got you. But then when you're in the middle of it, do you have me, God? Right? You're like, oh, God will come through for you. And then you're like, but do I think he'll come through for me? So that's the challenge, isn't it? When we have our own situation, do you trust that God has a better plan than you can come up with? And if you trust that, then you don't have to freak out. You don't get impatient. You don't have to go negative. You can trust and stay in faith, even when things aren't happening as fast or even the way that you want. Exodus 14, Moses says this. He said, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Just be still. Shut your mouth, stand there, and watch God do what God's going to do, right? And so, do we believe God will take care of us? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will straighten your paths. What God's saying is, my plan's different than what you have planned, so you're going to have to trust me. Do we trust God that he will come through for us in his way and in his time? This is everything, because why do we venture out on our own and walk away from God's will? Because what we're really saying is, God, I think my plan's better than yours. Which, do you even hear me say that loud? Doesn't that sound absurd to you? Well, that's insane. Of course God's plans are better, because he's bigger and he runs the whole universe. And you got, right. So we can know that and believe it, but do we believe on it? Do we trust it for our lives? Do we trust God that he will take care of us and he has a better plan than what we can come up with? I just want to challenge you with that last question. God will take care of you in a way that's different than you thought. God will turn you in the direction he wants you to go. Sometimes he turns you in hard times, but God even has something good out of that difficulty. And we have to learn to trust God with that he knows what he is doing. Recently, I was reading on the story of P. Diddy and all that crazy stuff going on. And I was just reading up, you know, just being salacious and gossipy as I was reading about it. Anyways, but as I was doing that, it freaked me out because I have a very close friend that was in the entertainment industry in New York during Diddy's heyday. And I was reading it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know some of these names from their experience. And doors kept closing on them. And I texted the story. I said, hey, check out the story. I said, aren't you glad? Several names are like, oh, I know that person. Thank God that the doors closed on them, or what could have happened to them? What did God protect them from in the grand no he gave them? Does that make sense? And by the way, they're still in the entertainment industry, but they went a completely different route, and they're doing great. So you have no idea what God will protect you from if you listen to him. So sometimes his timing is different. Sometimes it's just not now. Sometimes it's no, I'm going to go in a different direction. But God's plans are better. Last thing I want to mention about this is this. Moses, there's a direct parallel between Moses' story and Jesus. In fact, one theologian put it this way. Moses so identified with the Israelites that their guilt was upon him. He also so identified with God that God's power was coming through him. Isn't that great? Well, that's the picture of Jesus. Every Old Testament story is just a prophecy of the greatest story of all ever told, Jesus and what he did for us. So I'll also put it this way. Jesus was so identified as man, he became one. But he also was so identified with God, he was God. And because he was fully man, he could pay the price for man's sins. Because he was fully God, he could conquer that price and rise again. So my question for you today is, do you know Jesus? He's the answer. Whatever you're facing, he really is the answer. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? We just take a moment to pray today. I want to encourage you. Have you given your life to Christ? Because he is the one who sets us free. The story of the Red Sea and the whole thing, it's just, it's a picture of our salvation. One was get moving, get away from the Egyptians. What's that? That's our past. That's our past bondage, our past sin. And then the sea represents grace, that we can't part the water ourselves. Only God can do that. And of course, running through that sea on dry ground is a miracle, and only God can create that, but we still have to choose to now walk in it and take that first step. Would you take the first step? God parted the sea for you, and he covers your sins. Remember, the Egyptians ran forward and the water covered them? That's what grace does. Grace covers your sin, removes it forever. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you can receive Christ right now by praying a very simple prayer. Pray this with me right now across all of our campuses and those watching online. Just say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, would you hold your hand high? If you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, just hold your hand high right now. There's hands going up all across our campuses. Praise God. We see your hands there at Rodfield, at Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Right here in the broadcast campus. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high right there at Padre Island, at Portland. Hold those hands high. Praise God. There at Rodfield. Praise God. Those online, if you gave your life to Christ, just put in the text chat. Just text, my hand's raised, or click hand raised right now in our prison ministry. Hold those hands high. God, I want to thank you for each person today with their hand lifted, Lord, that they gave their life to you. Thank you, God, that you cover all of our sins. You remove them. And Lord, you give us a fresh start. And Lord, thank you. Through you, we leave our bondage behind, and now we are in freedom in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your son. Thank you, God. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Well, it's offering time at Church Unlimited. It's an honor to give to God. So if you're visiting with us, I want to mention this. We gave this card out at all of our campuses. It's for our Heart for the House annual offering. Today is not the annual offering, but we're giving this out to those who are a regular part of Church Unlimited. If you're visiting with us, this card, don't worry about this. It's not for you. Our service is a free gift to you to say thank you for being here, and we pray that you're being ministered to, that God's speaking to you, and that your kids are having a great time. That's our prayer for you. This is our gift to you. But if you feel led by God to be a part of the church, you say, no, this is my church, then the annual offering is for you and for me. And so I just want to encourage you, for me to give a sacrificial gift, something that's a sacrifice for us. And that the number's different for everyone, but whatever sacrifice is for you, I have prepared in advance for that. So we mentioned this today. The offering is not till December 8th, but I want to encourage you to prayerfully start considering what God would have you do above and beyond your tithe. So please take this home. Just pray about it. Don't do anything on it today. Unless you feel led, you can, but you don't have to. And then we'll readdress this come December 8th when we all together step forward and make a sacrifice. So that covers kind of what we're doing, why we're doing it, that kind of stuff. So thank you for that. But, you know, we love to give at Church Unlimited. And a lot of times you see that we do great work around the world. We're doing great work all over the place. I mean, I could mention all the countries we're in. I do it all the time. But we also look around locally and say, you know what? There's great needs here, isn't there? There's great needs here right in America as well. Last week, of course, you know, we talked about what we're doing up in the east side of our country and the difference we're making by those who were hit by a hurricane, by two hurricanes, actually, and how we're helping. And this week, we decided to just do something a little different to make an impact in people's lives, and we just wanted to show you what your giving was able to do this week. Please check this out. Are you Lori?
I am.
Awesome, Lori. So I know you were expecting an inspection, right?
Yes.
But actually, we're with Church Unlimited. I'm Pastor Bill. And we just know things are kind of crazy right now in our world and the economy and everything. And we just want to do some good. So if it's okay with you, we'd just like to pay your rent this next month.
Oh, wow.
And just to say, you know what? God loves you and that God takes care of people, right? We believe that God hears your prayers and he's here for you. And I hope this becomes a blessing for you.
Oh, awesome.
Is that
Thank
cool?
You so much. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
there you
so
go.
Much.
Your rent's covered for next month.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And I pray that this really blesses you guys. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Thank y'all.
Hi, are you Claudia?
Yes.
You mind me asking what your rent is?
It's $21.95.
$21.95 a month. Okay, $2,200. That's a lot of money nowadays, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy times, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I want to give you that. I want you just, you want to open that and just.
You're kidding.
No, we want to do that.
You have no idea how much this helps me because they messed up on his check.
And really?
It's like, no, you have no. This is so weird.
Well, I don't know if you believe in God or not.
I do.
But, you know, we believe that God opens doors, you know, and we just prayed not knowing who this would go to. And I called my friends and said, hey, you know, is there anyone that you feel like is really worthy of something just being blessed, you know, that maybe just hit a tough moment, and they said absolutely, and so I guess God just kind of brought your name to mind, you know, and
my birthday is on Thursday.
Oh, congratulations! Happy birthday!
But yeah, I do a lot. I've taken on my granddaughter.
Oh wow!
Yeah. No, you have no idea how crazy this is.
God answers your prayers. And I think you just did. And is that cool?
No, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And God bless you. We're so happy for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm here for the inspection.
Yeah, come in.
Well, actually, if it's okay with you, I'm actually not here to inspect the house. We just kind of felt led by God to see if we can, you know, maybe make a difference in someone. So do you mind me asking what you pay for rent here? You pay a lot, yeah?
$2,000,
yeah. Inflation's kind of crazy, right? I called my friend up, Chris, and I'm like, hey, you know, is there anyone you know who could just use a little help, a little blessing? And, you know, we believe that God leads them too. And so we just want to give you that real quick. Just let's just.
Serious? Are you serious?
Yeah. So we just. Well, you know, God just answered your prayers, right? Isn't God good? You know.
To be honest with you, I doubt God.
Yeah. Don't we all sometimes, right?
To you yesterday. Oh my God! I just can't believe this.
Well, here God has opened the door for you, and hopefully this can help you with the holidays coming up, and you know, and just let this be a sign from God. We know the resources will help too, but I hope it's a sign from God to you to say that He's here. You know.
Open the door and I saw you.
Isn't God good how he just takes care of us?
I want my dream because, honestly, I've been working a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to get a good check. But this few days, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was like...
Well, now you know. Now God's got you. I just want to pray for you. Is that cool? Lord, I just thank you so much for Cynthia, God. I thank you. It's okay. It's okay. God, thank you, Lord, for the way you know what we need before we even need it, Lord. And God, before we ask, you take care of us. Lord, I thank you for Cynthia. Lord, I thank you for her and her husband. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, her daughter's been coming to Church Unlimited. What are the chances of that, God? Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray you'd bless her, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are blessing her and you always take care of us, God. And I pray, Lord, that this would just be a leg up. God, that they would just see this as a sign from you that you love them, that you know their needs, and you will meet their needs. In your name we pray. Amen.
God, I just can't believe this. I'm going to get on the phone right now and start calling everybody. I'm telling them.
You know, you want to do for one or two people what you wish you could do for everyone, right? And so thank you for being the most generous church. I just thank you. I mean, I this place is a miracle. I know it is. And I don't think God has allowed us to see the kind of church this has become so we can pat ourselves on the back and think we're big and all that, but so we can make a big impact. So thank you for being the kind of church that gives. And we're in our community, and we're helping people, and I'm thankful for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can give today. I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with the ability to give. Lord, thank you that your word tells us in Acts that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I pray that you'd bless this offering, and I thank you, God, that we can make an impact not only around the world, but right here in our communities as well. Bless this offering, Lord. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Pastor.